You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
This Sunday, tune into News Channel 5, the new TV home of the Cleveland Browns, at 11 a.m. to catch Inside the Cleveland Browns, hosted by Sarah Carnes and Dustin Fox, followed by an all-new Dog Pound Report at 11:30 by myself and Andy Baskin. Now, that's actually not true. This week, you actually get a special hour-long edition of Dog Pound Report.
Boom!
Boom!
You get News the Gribbs, you get me, you get Zagura, you get Baskin.
And a special appearance by KG.
KG.
Kevin Griffin making his Dog Pound Report.
Talking Fan Fest.
Debut.
Orange and Brown scrimmage.
Yes, his debut on the Dog Pound Report. So that's this Sunday, News Channel 5, hour-long edition, looking at OTA. Some good features, interviews with Paul Kruger, interviews with Alex Mack, interviews with special teams coordinator Chris Tabor. Lots to get to and digest on that show. Check it out. Matt Wilhelm continuing to break down OTAs only. Matt Wilhelm can do so. Speaking of the OTAs, today we were out there. I thought Josh McCown, there is, as of today, no quarterback competition.
No.
Josh McCown is clearly the starter for this football team. His rapport with the receivers is good. His pocket movement is good. His accuracy is good. I went back and looked at his interceptions over the last couple of years. A lot of them were decision-making, not necessarily accuracy. And a lot of it came, I think, from a miscommunication. Last year, he had a bad offensive line in Tampa Bay. His coordinator is now the running backs coach at Oklahoma State, which talks about that's maybe the biggest fall for a coach in NFL history.
How do you think, Matt, let us in a little bit, if you lose a coordinator right before the season starts, is it a surprise to you that that offense completely fell apart?
No, not at all.
That's what
not
you would expect, right?
Because, and it all depends, you know, who was on that staff. Because if you have former coordinators as position coaches, which I believe they did not, you can survive and potentially come out and have a decent product. But if you have true position coaches, they're all looking to the leader. And the leader is non-existent. It's the blind leading the blind.
And the head coach is a defensive guy.
Exactly.
Yeah, the guy had never been a play caller before.
Exactly. You've got rookie wide receivers. You got question at running back. You got question at offensive line.
So being a Kool-Aid drinker that I've been known to be, I'm going to throw out Josh McCown's year from last year. And I'm going to pretend the last year he played was 2 years ago with the Bears. And therefore, I'm pulling out the playoff banner. Let's go.
Let's go, kid. I got a chance to talk to Paul Kruger on the sideline for quite a bit. And he said, you know, Josh McCown was just saying, what a difference. I mean, being behind an offensive line that's this smart and this talented is mind-boggling. He's never really had that kind of an opportunity. He likes the offense. Paul Kruger said he's a very good leader. He's a surprisingly good athlete and young for his age. When you got a 35-year-old quarterback, things a little bit broken down. But I think what became apparent to me is last year, and this is so early, this is kind of flag football in some senses, to be perfectly honest about it. But you can see the way, and you saw it too. So since Gibbs won't like the fact that I never played or coached football, that I don't know if I can comment on it, but I'm gonna try anyway, and then I'll let you tell me if you agree or disagree with what I'm about to say.
All right.
Josh McCown is a different level of quarterback than we saw last year on this roster. And I think one of the reasons that we thought there was such a quarterback competition last year is because the play of both quarterbacks was so not good that it looked the same.
Correct.
Through 3 days, and I know, again, it's early, it does not look the same.
It does not look the same. And what stands out to me as a former player, having played across and practiced across Phillip Rivers and Drew Brees and Aaron Rodgers for most of my career, what I loved about this offense is it's progressed in 3 days. Just naturally. Guys are understanding. Guys are thinking sharper. They're getting in and out of their cuts sharper. So now they have their legs below them. But what impressed me today for the last, little bit of the team period that we saw was you saw the checks today. Josh McCown and Johnny Manziel, but more so Josh McCown getting up, reading the defense, calling out that mic, audibling, changing guys, starting a motion, quick snapping guys, keeping the defense on their heels. And that's something that I thought we didn't do a whole lot of last year as a team, regardless of who the quarterback was. It was, this is what we're going to do. Most likely it's going to be a run or a bootleg. No motion, no window dressing, no change of snap, none of that stuff. So what Josh more so than anything, what it really is, control. He has control at offense. He has respect of that offense. He also, too, as you said in speaking to Paul Kruger, we heard from Dante Whitner and so on and so forth, is he also has the respect of the defense because they know what getting first downs and scoring points can do for their performance each and every Sunday this season.
And is that respect all from what's happening on the practice field, or is there any interaction in meetings where they see his interaction?
Not so much in meetings, because, you know,
separate.
Once you get into meetings, you're completely separate, but conversations in the lunchroom, conversations in the locker room, and I know that a few places that I've been, they intermingled the lockers. So it wasn't quarterbacks in a corner and that's their little niche, and then the running backs together and the linebackers. It was everybody's got a locker next to everybody. So it's those conversations that actually matter. When guys go out of their way, as we've said earlier, with Johnny coming back, no one's going to go out of their way and say, "Hey man, great to have you back. Hopefully treatment was great," you know, with a big thumbs up on. But if you see a guy practicing very well, executing the way that a winning quarterback should be executing, it just breeds a conversation. It breeds a confidence in him, and then him, and that mutual respect is developed between two players that have only known each other for a few months now.
And I think that's a big point, and you're seeing that out there. Johnny Manziel made a very good deep throw to Taylor Gabriel in a 7-on-7 right down the sideline, dropped it in the bucket for a big, big play. Gabriel continues, by the way, to make big plays and get – nobody can cover him. Taylor Gabriel gets
fast.
Open
little
when he
target,
wants to get open.
Little target, can't get your hands on him, and then he just runs by
you. And then he runs by you, and when he sits down, all of a sudden you're trying to catch up with him, and he's already sat down and the ball is there. So, and after that play, Josh McCown was fired up, hooted and hollered, slapped Johnny on the behind, slapped hands with him. They hugged real quick, and he was like – you could tell he was genuinely excited – for what Johnny did on that play. There's a camaraderie there that is different, that's noticeably different. Taylor Gabriel's fielding punts. Dante Whitner's hollering. I'm like, okay, I see what you're doing out there. It's looking good. All right, I'm going to come out here. I'm going to put some pressure on you. There's a little bit of camaraderie, a little bit of prodding, leadership that's very much on display right now.
Absolutely. You know what all that stems from is maybe a question that Johnny asked in a meeting, or something that was brought up in the quarterback room or offensive room. And then Johnny immediately took that, either the answer of that question or the clarity that he received in the quarterback room or the offensive room, and applied it to the field. And that's what these OTAs are really about: learning in the classroom, applying on the field. And I'm sure Josh McCown, he wasn't happy because it was a completion and yay for the offense. It was, my guy is getting it. That's what it was. And I'm excited for him. And that's about being a team.
It's about being a team. That's what that kind of leadership, those intangibles. Dante Whitner, by the way, nice interception off the hand of Josh McCown today.
Yeah, bad read by Josh.
That was a bad
Forced
read.
It. He should have went front side in the 3-by-1.
And, you know, it's funny. You go back to that interceptable pass debate, and we won't get Gibbs involved with this. By the way, Gibbs, did you see the tweet that Chris Lee sent out about Pro Football Focus having a discussion of Dez Bryant was targeted, I think, 28 times on balls more than 20 yards in the air. Of those, 15 were quote-unquote catchable. Of those, 8 were touchdowns. Who decided they were catchable?
Chris Lee's my guy. Went to high school with me.
Really?
Yeah.
Chris Lee, checking in with us.
Listener of the show.
He said that he heard the guy who determined whether or not those balls were catchable lived in his mom's basement. He just wanted to put that out there as an aside on that one. But Josh McCown's problems, the accuracy, you see it there, has been decision-making. That was a poor decision. And that's what he's going to have to mitigate in this offense. That's the concern. That's why Josh McCown, for all as good as he looks, has never been the guy for a period of time anywhere. And in this offense, I think it's going to be especially important. Make good decisions with the football.
You're right. And I think because of the way in which he's playing right now in this, and I hate to say elementary, but in this, you know, very early stage of OTAs, it's completion after completion after completion, and he wants to keep rolling. And he forced that ball essentially into almost like the backside triple coverage when he could have easily thrown that ball 30 yards out of bounds, you know, live to see another day.
Right.
So his completion, his confidence is so high that he wanted to make a throw. He wanted to stay high, you know, on his
guys.
Because
he'd been playing so well.
Past the Hausler. He's like, you know, that confidence, you know, comes out and he wants to, you know, buzz it in there. It wasn't thrown either accurately or sharply
enough
to get there.
Yep.
It was kind of a lazy throw and a bad read.
Guy who stood out to me today on the defense, and that we talked about this defensive line and just how deep it is, Dylan Wynn, the rookie from Oregon State, continues to make plays. Paul Kruger was in the backfield quite a bit. Hayes Pollard was around the ball. Ibrahim Campbell, I want to ask you about this because as a special teams guy, what's the position where you're the one calling everything out on the punt team?
Personal protector.
The personal protector. They put Ibrahim Campbell in that role already. What does that say to you?
It says that he's very smart, that he is – that Chris Tabor trusts him with to make the proper calls, because just like a defense moving around pre-snap, a punt team wants to do the same thing, give you different looks, move guys around to create a block slash return look. They're going to give those creepers coming in from the outside, calling them out, identifying, and then also, too, paying attention to the play clock and getting that ball snapped before you receive a delay of game. And then also his role, once that ball snapped, if he made the right call, him stepping up, making that big block, because that's
he's the last line
a true point of emphasis. You won't see a lot of guys come around the edge to make a block. Not anymore. Guys are too good. They want to confuse you inside with those crosses, just like on a on an offensive line. When one guy makes a mistake, that blitzer comes around, that stunt comes inside, and he's got a sack on the quarterback. You want to stunt a guy with a clean look to the punter's foot. And the personal protector, in most cases, is the guy that stops it.
The last line of defense. So that's another rookie who has made an impression. When we come back, we're going to hear from Terrence West, talk to everybody after Tuesday's OTA. We're going to hear from them. We're going to get into who we think has the most to prove on this Cleveland Browns football team. We'll take your phone calls. Any questions you have about what happened at OTA today, what we've seen now, the first week of practice for the Browns in the books, 216-578-0850. Girl Wilhelm Kidd, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.